You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
This podcast is brought to you by Voyage AC.
So, I have a small challenge.
How can I help, honey?
Well, August is a big birthday month, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I need to get two friends of mine birthday gifts, but I don't know if I should get them the same thing.
So, what are your choices?
Well, I was thinking of the Saint-Tropez highball candle because not only is it elegant, but it smells so good. Mm-hmm. But I was also thinking about that gorgeous Minoy shimmer oil that makes people want to reach out and touch my skin. What do you think?
I don't think you can go wrong with anything from Voyage AC.
You got that right, hon. That's because Voyage AC has it all. Go online right now and check out their beautiful candles, incredible fragrances, fabulous beachwear, and gorgeous face and body products. So, hon, how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VoyageEtcie.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
Hi, I'm Simone Reyes, and I'm the only one that got the call to save the cows. Eating the energy of an animal that until the last moment is fighting for her last breath, that's not a good energy to consume on any level. We all know about endorphins. We know what our own bodies can do when we are subjected to stress and how that can lead to disease and how that can skyrocket our blood pressure and all of these things. That is what we are eating when we consume meat. That is what we are drinking when we drink dairy.
I'm probably one of the few people I know who still looks forward to my Sunday newspaper, not a digital copy that I read on my phone, but the real finger-staining, loud crinkling, section-by-section newspaper. The Sunday paper for me is a treat to be enjoyed while lounging in bed and sipping hot lemon water. So one day when we were going through all of the Only One stories that are being submitted to us, thank you for those, by the way, we love reading them. It was Scott's idea to record and release a few of them occasionally, but always on Sundays, and call them our Sunday edition. And because they're only 30 minutes long, our hope is that you can enjoy them while sipping your morning beverage, going for a walk, or even just enjoying a lazy Sunday at home. Please enjoy today's Sunday edition, and be sure to listen every Tuesday when we drop another brand new episode of The Only One in the Room. So we are talking to Simone Reyes again. Simone, hi, how are you?
Hi, so good to see you again.
So good to see you again. This is actually our first time seeing each other in person, even though we've heard each other. Not in person, but virtually. But we get to see each other's expressions while we talk, which is so cool. And you're so lovely to look at. So I wanted to know, because you were episode 56, season number 6, you are the only animal activist in country music. So everybody that's listening, go back and check out that episode. But I wanted to ask you what country songs you've been rocking this summer.
Oh my gosh. Well, Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood just came out with a song like literally, I think yesterday. And it's blown my mind. It's an incredible love song. Just, you know, why do I still love you type of thing.
Yeah.
And I love
sing that for us, you know.
Thanks. Yeah.
Pass.
But I have my, you know, of course, I'm always playing Dolly Parton. It doesn't matter what summer it is, right? I mean, of course,
Dolly.
Right? She's the queen. And I've also been really, like, into old Reba, like 90s Reba. Like, she's so badass, you know?
Yeah. And timeless, but, though, right?
She's completely timeless. Yeah. And I remember just, you know, being so young and hearing her voice and just thinking I'd never heard a voice like that before, mm-hmm. you know, and she had such mm-hmm. strength and conviction in her voice.
Yes.
So yeah, 90s country and I have been getting along really well this summer. Love it.
Well, great. I love that. And we have to go check out that new song. Tell me who it is again.
Oh, Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood.
Okay. All right. I like Carrie Underwood. I don't know who he is, but I'm not into
Carrie Underwood
music.
Is a beautiful female singer.
I know her, but him I don't
Jason
know.
Jason Aldean, you don't know?
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's a big deal. He's a big deal in country
okay.
music.
Okay, I'll
yeah.
check it out.
He's awesome.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I would like it if he stopped hunting, though. I'll throw that in.
Oh, yeah. I am Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is the Only One in the Room special Sunday edition. But I'm never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, honey. So, like I said, you remember our interview with Simone Reyes last summer.
I do.
I had to ask her to come back on the show because I was following this story. I call it the Manning Beef Cows, but they really didn't belong to them. That was the headline that flashed across my screen. And they broke out of a slaughterhouse in Pico Rivera, which is here in the Los Angeles area where we all live, where Scott, Simone, and I live. And they tried to run to safety. So first, let me just tell you a little bit about Simone before I get into the story. Simone, and you'll see why she's here, is a 25-year-plus vegan. By the way, Scotty and I are going on a year and 3 months.
Yeah, almost 15 months, I think.
Yeah. Yes, with your help and your support this year. So we appreciate you. And Simone has been a grassroots animal rights activist for most of her adult life. She traveled to Taji, Japan as a Sea Shepherd Cove Guardian to report on and document the atrocities of the dolphin drives. She has also been honored by Mercy for Animals for the work she's done to put the plight of farm animals in the public's consciousness. Simone has been instrumental in negotiating the release of several cows out of a local slaughterhouse in Los Angeles and getting them into a sanctuary. PETA's Animal Rahat Sanctuary in India was officially given a new name, Simone's Place, in honor of Simone's tireless dedication to the animal rights cause. That is incredible. That is really incredible. Welcome, Simone. Welcome on the show. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And Simone has also authored 3 books and is recently embarked on a career as a country singer, which is what she talks about on our previous episode. She resides in Laurel Canyon with her rescue cat, Bardot.
Yes.
How is Bardot doing?
She's doing great. She loves any kind of lockdown, you know, because she gets mommy home all the time.
So all the time.
Yeah, she loves it. She loves
so
it.
So she's in cat heaven. Not literally. But.
Paradise. Yes.
Yes, yeah. We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
All right, so here's what I'm going to read to you. Here's the headline that I woke up to whatever morning that was this summer. Last week, the world watched and cheered as videos of 39 cows making a daring escape from the Pico Rivera slaughterhouse went viral. People were rooting for the cows, as were Scott and I, as they made their prison break. On Thursday morning, the last remaining cow was corralled, but will live thanks to the award-winning songwriter Diane Warren, activist Simone Reyes, and the Farm Sanctuary. So like I was telling you, Simone, Scotty and I were two of the people that were watching that story so closely. I came running downstairs every morning to see where these cows were and to see what was happening with them. It was like this real life, some kind of animal superhero animation, like come to life. Like these cows broke away from a situation where they were going to be, it's a slaughterhouse. So there's no worse word that you need to put in there. They were going to be murdered. But it's a slaughterhouse. They were going to be slaughtered for their meat so that people could eat them. And they broke out and they ran for their lives. And yeah, so I was so moved by that. And I was so, it was so emotional, I felt. And so I wanted to have you come on just to tell us the story of how you found out about it, when you got the call, what happened, and then kind of go from there.
Well, when it happened, animal rights activists all over the globe said, of course, if a cow or any animal in a slaughterhouse has even a sliver of a chance to escape, they're going to take it. These cows are not unique in that way. In almost every state where you have, you know, animals being killed, which is every state here, there are stories of animals who have escaped, whether it's a goat or, you know, or a chicken or cows. Actually, as we speak right now in Suffolk County, there's a cow that escaped a slaughterhouse on the loose. And thankfully, wow. Whenever he is found, and hopefully he will be found safely, he will also go to sanctuary. It's very obvious when an animal escapes from a slaughterhouse that people, of course, are riveted to the story. In this particular story, it wasn't just one cow. It was, we thought 39 cows, but it was actually 41. And when we heard about it, we were, you know, riveted to the story. And of course, my phone started ringing off the hook. Once they found out that it was Manning Beef, people knew in the community that I have a very good relationship with the owner of Manning Beef.
I want to know about that because I saw that on your Instagram post. I don't understand how you have a good relationship with the owner of a slaughterhouse.
A lot of people don't. And you're probably referencing a photo of myself and some of the instrumental people in helping save these cows' lives at Crossroads, where we had dinner with him.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, I have tried to explain this. It is an unusual friendship, of course. Fundamentally, our belief systems are on two opposite ends of the spectrum, right? But being an animal rights activist is first and foremost about nonviolence, right? Tolerance, acceptance, compassion. When I met Anthony originally, it was at his slaughterhouse. And I was with Kat Von D and I was with Russell Simmons and I was with Sean Munson and Amy Jean Davis and a lot of other very instrumental people in the movement. And I was there and I was horrified. I was hysterical crying and viewing, you know, things that were unspeakable. But as animal rights activists, you know, we bear witness. Even if we can't save an animal, at least we are there to bear witness to their suffering, to their lives. And in that way, we can tell their stories and make them activists. Their lives are never in vain, especially if we can tell their stories. And everybody, I will say, you know, who is in that group handled it much differently. Russell started making weird, inappropriate jokes. Kat Von D seemed to be frozen. She wasn't able to say or do anything. I broke out into tears. It was all different. And Anthony DiMaria, who owns the slaughterhouse, came over to me and he said, you know, this is a business for me. It's not that I want to be in the business of killing animals. It's a business. And he said, you know, you won't find anything that happens in the slaughterhouse that isn't by the book. My first reaction was, it's murder. It's none of it's by the book. You know, the book needs to be thrown away and trashed.
Yeah.
But he said, I respect all of you. And so much so that I've invited you here. And I was still crying and very angry and very upset. And he said, you know, I'll prove to you that I respect you. And the next time, you know, an opportunity presents itself, you will get a call from me and I will allow you to save an animal from the slaughterhouse. And I just sort of didn't think anything of it. You know, I mean, maybe he was just trying to get me to stop crying or I don't know. And about 2 months later at 6:30 in the morning, I got a text from him. And he said, there's a mother cow here. And this is not usual. It certainly happens, but it's not usual. Who's just given birth to a baby. And there's something in Anthony that he couldn't kill that baby. He couldn't send that baby to slaughter. Whatever it is in his heart that made him call somebody that he knew would be able to get that baby out. Of course, the first thing I said was not without the mother. And we were able to negotiate out mom and baby. And they now live at Farm Sanctuary and they're very happy and they live a beautiful life. Actually, those two actually went to Diane Warren's. The next cow that we got out went to Farm Sanctuary. So I can guarantee you there are not a lot of slaughterhouse workers or people who own slaughterhouses who, number one, open up dialogues with animal rights activists. I'm sure we're quite annoying to them. We have vigils outside their businesses all the time. We're constantly, there's bad press that are being put out there, rightfully so. It's an industry that we don't support. However, because Anthony and I and the other people that you saw in that photograph at Crossroads have been able to have a relationship with him, and we know his backstory, which is actually quite interesting. And I've seen him cry. I have made a human connection with him. And the part of Anthony that I have connected to is that part that he has, which is open, which is, I will help you save an animal when it's feasible, when it's possible.
Wow.
So because of that, and nobody understands it. And I can tell you right now, and I know we're sort of going around the story, but Diane Warren, when she was invited to that dinner, Diane Warren's legendary songwriter, every song you've heard on the radio, she's pretty much written. And she was very much like, I don't know that I can do this. You know, I don't know. And after 15 minutes of sitting with Anthony, talking about things that didn't involve animals, talking about his life and the struggles that he's had and the loss of his father and things that connect people on a human level, she said, I never thought I'd say this, but I really, really like Anthony. And I said, well, that's Anthony. It's just that's sort of, you know, how it is. And because now she's friends with him and I'm friends with him, I have no doubt that he will allow us to rescue more animals that he, for whatever reason, speak to his heart and he can't send to slaughter.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's sort of how it came about. When all these cows had escaped, my phone was ringing off the hook. You know, Anthony, get us those cows. It was a lot of pressure. I knew in my heart that we weren't going to be able to get all 39, or now as we know, 41. I knew that that really wasn't going to happen. But I felt that perhaps we could get someone out, you know? And so I immediately texted Anthony, and he was in the hospital, and he had been injured in the stampede, I guess you would call it. And he was very injured. He was going into surgery the next day. He was in a lot of pain. And he said, I will get back to you. I knew he would get back to me, but, you know, I'm a go-getter, right, when it comes to animals. And I thought, you know, I'm getting calls from everybody I know, Diane Warren being, you know, probably the most famous person who called me. And I thought, you know, Diane has some of his cows and maybe she can just be the little push that even through his pain will help him really nail it down to like that we're definitely going to get a cow. And when would that be? And can we, you know, and as soon as they're rounded up, you know, when can that happen? So she said, I'll give it a try, you know, and I think he was surprised that Diane Warren was calling him and he picked up the phone and they started talking. They had a nice conversation and she got off the phone and she said, these are the city officials that are handling the roundup. Take it from here. And I did. I called up this amazing manager of Pico Rivera, of the town of Pico Rivera, named Steve Carmona. He said, you know, there's nothing more that I want than for all of these cows to go to sanctuary. And we're going to do everything that we can to get that. And I was just blown away because who is this person? And, you know, he's incredible. When you take an animal out of a slaughterhouse, there's a lot of red tape and you have to do it by the book, which means you have to be filling out a lot of paperwork at the USDA and the city was involved and everybody was involved. So once we had word that one of the cows had been shot and killed by law enforcement, and once we saw in the news that they were being rounded up, we didn't know what would happen and if we would get any of those cows. But there was one that was sort of at large, and that cow was the last to be rounded up. And that's the cow that sort of really wrapped around everybody's hearts, because you think to yourself, she really went the extra mile, if you will, literally and figuratively, to get away and to stay away and to stay hidden. People saw her capture and saw how fiercely she was protecting her life and her body.
That capture made me cry.
It made all of us cry. Yeah.
I was, because they had her by her neck and then there was another rope around her feet. Was that it?
She was fiercely defending her body and her life and her right to live. And Diane Warren said, well, obviously that's going to be the cow that we're going to get. And we did, you know, Steve helped facilitate it. Technically, the cow was released to the city of Pico Rivera. And then we got all the paperwork done. And I had sanctuaries, which is so wonderful, calling me from all over the country saying that they wanted to provide sanctuary to this one cow. I have had a long, long relationship with Farm Sanctuary. I started protesting with Gene Bauer, the founder of Farm Sanctuary, back in the 90s. So we're good friends. And when you deal with any animal that's taken out of a slaughterhouse, as I said, there's a lot of red tape. And so I really wanted to go to the top, which is the oldest farm sanctuary, which is Farm Sanctuary, to make sure that every T was crossed and every I was dotted. So that it was an easy decision for me to choose Farm Sanctuary to do this. And they were incredible. They, Michelle Cho and their entire staff there, Ashley and Marie and everybody that we dealt with there, just jumped into action and we were able to get her out within 48 hours. And she was separated from, all of the other cows. And there's drone footage that showed her. She was separated because we wanted to make sure that, you know, that the information we were getting back was accurate, because Anthony was in surgery. It was hard to know if, you know, just because he had said it, of course, he's the boss, but he's in surgery. So we wanted to absolutely make sure. And you know, there was activists there and they were sort of looking in with their binoculars. And I saw some drone footage that apparently somebody had taken, and she was in fact separated from the crowd. And then Farm Sanctuary sent a trailer and was able to get her. She, of course, was extremely terrified of people, as anybody would imagine she would be. But we've seen that before, and we've seen them come around. And that's the beauty of sanctuary, right? People often say, well, what's the difference? You can go to a farm sanctuary and you can pet the cows or chickens or pigs or whatever on a weekend. What's the difference of a petting zoo or a zoo? And that is the difference. Animals get to choose at a sanctuary. The entire setup of a sanctuary that even allows visitors on perhaps one day a week is done so that an animal can say, not today, and walk away, and nobody follows them or corrals them or forces them to be manhandled or pet or whatever it is. That is not sanctuary. And that is the difference. So
it's like more donation dependent than admission price dependent.
Yes. You might go to a farm, to a sanctuary, which isn't common, but every animal might say no that day, and that is absolutely fine. But usually, you know, they've loved the attention, because it's also at any farm sanctuary, it's done in a very tiny bit of time, usually once a week for a couple of hours. it is not a petting zoo that you can go at any time, day or night, or transporting them around, or like the horrors of, that we see with traveling animal acts and all of that. It's not. That's the beauty of sanctuary. They can say no. But lots of times they love to have children, you know, giving them kisses and things like that. And they really seem to understand that they're ambassadors of compassion.
That's awesome. So I was going to read your post. Reading your post. The post says, here they are. They ran for their lives and stole the hearts of millions. This story was a leading news story internationally when they, along with 39 others, told the world that animals want to live. That's all in caps. With the generosity of hashtag Manny Beef, these two were spared. They have no idea how loved they are, or perhaps they do. Thank you to all who helped us get them free. And then you have a lot of names here. So can you tell me the story of the second cow? Because all we've just heard about is the first one. So tell us the second.
We had no idea that there was a second cow. I mean, like, talk about, you know, a will to live. She went undercover for over a week. Nobody spotted a cow in
See,
a
that's
residential
what I don't
area.
Understand.
Where was she?
Where does a
we don't
cow
know.
Hide?
We don't know. We don't know. We still don't know what she was up to in that week. We do know that she did not have adequate access to water or food, so she was emaciated. We do know that she was stressed and terrified. But I'll never forget, I was walking down the street and I got a call from Anthony, who was feeling better. He was on the mend. I think he was still in the hospital, but he was on the mend. And he said, I'm here with Steve, who is now like my favorite person because he was such an amazing man. And the reports that you're hearing on the news, because of course I had texted him, are true. There is another cow. And Steve said, I'm working with Manning Beef and we're going to do everything that we can to get a safe capture. And that was really what we all started praying on. Please let it be a safe, because one had been killed by law enforcement just the week earlier. So that was always very scary. What's going to happen? You know, if they're anywhere in the vicinity of a human, you know, really bad things can happen when people assume that they're going to hurt a human, even though that assumption is usually completely wrong. But of course, that was our fear. And then we got the call that she had been safely corralled and transported back to Manning Beef. And Anthony told me that not only, you know, was she safe, but of course she would be given sanctuary, which was amazing because all animals have to be quarantined when they go into any rescue at all. And so June Be Free, which is her name, she was going to be alone in quarantine. And there was also talk of her possibly being alone forever. We're not sure what happened with that because of certain restrictions about the time that she was in the slaughterhouse and the inoculations that she'd gotten and all of that. And again, Farm Sanctuary being the best place, they would do everything that they can to put her in the herd. And we think that's what's going to happen. But, you know, this poor, you know, June Be Free would be quarantined all by herself. Of course, she would have humans there, but she doesn't love humans yet, right? So the fact that she would have a sister and from her own herd, who certainly they know each other. People don't realize how intelligent cows are. Cows not only have the cognitive ability of, you know, being able to recognize 50 animals from their herd, they can recognize human faces. They can pull levers to give themselves grain or work water fountains to give themselves water. They're extremely intelligent. In the wild, people don't even think about this, but you hear about the wolf packs and you hear about how sophisticated they are. Well, it's very similar in a cow herd. You know, when you have a cow that's going to be sort of the matriarch or the head of the cow herd, they're chosen not by chance. A cow herd gets their leader by choosing the one that has the best social skills with the other members of the herd. You might have a big sort of giant cow that doesn't know how to play nice all the time with the herd and doesn't make the best decisions all the time, just as with humans, right? Some are born leaders, some are followers. They have that. You know, they also have one of the strongest maternal instincts of any animal. When veal calves are being taken away, it is normal, absolutely normal, to have that mother cow do everything that she can to get her body in the way of whoever is taking her baby. Then she will follow the transport trucks. We've seen it all on Instagram and Facebook posts, following the transport trucks, and she will cry for several days or several weeks until she knows that she's not getting her baby back.
Wow.
I had rescued, along with help, of course, of other activists, but a mother and a baby from a slaughterhouse, and the baby didn't make it. She passed away. And we left the baby with her because we felt that just as any mother needs to process such, you know, a really strong loss, we left the baby with her overnight so that she could grieve privately until we moved her into another sanctuary. And we came back the next morning, and the person that lived at the property who left her alone said, of course, you know, she cried all night. And then every little twig or leaf she had used to bury her baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling that story.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about is true. I know this on some level, but I didn't know that intimately. The human traits, I don't know if they're human traits, but they're traits that I attribute to humans that you're talking about these cows having. I hope that a lot of people share this episode so that more people can hear and understand that these are not burgers. They are these beautiful beings that have love and compassion and leadership qualities and follower qualities and, you know, are communal and friendly and community oriented. What was the name of the first cow?
That was rescued at Manning?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's June Be Free.
And oh, that's June Be Free.
Uh-huh. Well, but Diane Warren at first was calling her Free because Diane has a song, a beautiful song called Free. And then one of their donors had asked if she could name her, and they said, sure. And so she ended up with like a hyphenated name of June Be Free, which is a great name. And the other cow that was rescued, her name is Susan. And that was a donor of Farm Sanctuary that passed away. So they wanted to honor her by naming the second cow Susan. And then the other two cows, the one that passed away, I had named them. And I named the mom Jackie over Jackie Onassis and the baby who passed away, John John.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. What an incredible story. I'm so glad you came on to tell it. I really respect your work so much. I enjoy your Instagram posts. They make me more aware. tell me where people can find you because I want them to be able to follow you too.
Well, at Simone Reyes is on Twitter or on Instagram. And then if you like country music, that would be at Simone Reyes Music.
Okay, great. Right as we close, tell me the best thing besides the fact that these two cows are safe to come out of this whole thing.
Oh, the best thing was the media attention, which was, first of all, completely free, which is always lovely. And the fact that when you have a collective community of people who eat meat, that was the most people that I was hearing from. People who eat meat, drink dairy, who were rooting for cows who wanted to live. That's huge because that means that a seed was planted in them that says, you know, I'm eating the energy of an animal that until the last moment is fighting for her last breath. That's not a good energy to consume on any level. Mm. We all know about endorphins. We know what our own bodies can do when we are subjected to stress and how that can lead to disease and how that can skyrocket our blood pressure and all of these things. That is what we are eating when we consume meat. That is what we are drinking when we drink dairy.
Mm. That is a good last word, Miss Simone. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And hopefully we'll get to have another follow-up when you rescue some other animals that we see on the news, okay?
Yes, I'm sure we will.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Simone.
Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.